Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die."
Dear viewing audiences, when you raise children who are about 2 or 3 years old, they may be harmed touching or eating dangerous things in the house. For example, suppose there is some poison in the house. Even if the parents tell the children, "You must never drink this," they do not understand what it means. That is why the parents hide dangerous things from the children or just remove such things from the house. They just remove the harmful substances from the house to begin with so that their children will not be harmed. I think you do the same, right? But in the Bible, there is a strange matter. It is about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God created man in His own image and loved the first man, Adam, so very much. He put His beloved Adam in the Garden of Eden to live, but He also placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there, too. But if Adam ate from it, he would surely die. Adam still ate from the tree, and he and his descendants all became sinners, who had to face the punishment of death. Why then did God place such a dangerous tree in the garden? Didn't God know that Adam would eat from it? Then does it mean God had something He did not know, so we cannot say He is all-knowing? However, if the Almighty God placed a tree of the knowledge of good and evil there, knowing everything, does it mean He did not love Adam? Of course not. God knew everything and He loved Adam very much. That is why He placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there. Today it is the 5th session of the message of the cross, and I will explain to you about the providence of God's placing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Eden. I hope you will realize God's providence and love embedded in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil through this message. I bless in the name of the Lord that by realizing it, you will become God's children who love Him from the depth of your hearts and be loved by Him. Dear viewing audiences, when Adam was first created, although his appearance was that of a grown-up adult, he still was like a newborn baby as far as knowledge is concerned. It is just like a brand new high-tech computer that has no data input in it. From this situation, Adam began to gain all kinds of knowledge, step by step, directly from God. He learned about God, the spiritual realm, truth, goodness, light, and many other things of spiritual knowledge, including the knowledge needed to rule over everything. After Adam gained sufficient knowledge, he finally had the qualifications to rule over and subdue everything as the Lord of all creation. Genesis chapter 2 verse 19 says, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name." Today, even the best avian scholar would not be able to know all the names and characteristics of all the birds on the earth. But Adam knew the characteristics and ecology of not only all the birds, but also all animals, so that he could name all of them appropriately. With this kind of amazing knowledge and wisdom, Adam and Eve began to multiply by giving birth to many children. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. As said, they gave birth to many children. The fact that Adam and Eve gave birth to children in the Garden of Eden can be seen in the Bible. In the first half, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, God says, I, namely God, will greatly increase your, namely Eve's, pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. The phrase greatly increase tells us that Eve had already had some childbearing pain before. For the baby to come out, the pelvis has to widen, so there had to be some pain. But before the curse, the pain was less, but after that, God said it would increase greatly. That is why there is tremendous pain with the labor in childbearing today. But it is a fact that this pain of childbearing decreases as a woman gets rid of her sins and becomes sanctified. In case of our church's female members who try to become sanctified and lead a good Christian life, they have a relatively easy time in childbearing. There are many who deliver the baby without any pain also. After they receive prayer with faith, they give birth within such a short time without much pain. Dear brothers and sisters, the Garden of Eden is a place where there is no disease, aging, or death. So much time passed while Adam and Eve lived in this garden that the people were able to multiply. When God explained the message of the cross to me, He said Adam lived in the Garden of Eden for an unimaginably long time. The Bible mentions it briefly, so many people misunderstand. They think Adam lived in the garden for a short time until he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Saying that the history of the cultivation of mankind is for 6,000 years, the 6,000 years did not start from the moment Adam was created, but from the time he was driven out to this earth. The human cultivation begins with Adam's fall. Since he was driven out to this world, an incalculable period of time passed from when Adam was created until he sinned. For this long period of time, Adam enjoyed great authority as the Lord of all things, and he lacked nothing. When God let Adam live in the Garden of Eden, He prohibited Adam from one thing. It was not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17 says, And the Lord God commanded the man, You are afraid to eat from any tree in the garden, meaning Adam didn't have to get permission to eat from any tree. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. In the beginning, Adam and Eve kept this command well, but as time passed by, they did not keep God's command in their heart. Angels were created only to obey God's command unconditionally. But to man, God gave them free will. Man can obey or choose not to obey according to their own free will. After a long time had passed, Adam and Eve no longer kept God's word on their minds. With their free will, they eventually ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Until Adam and Eve ate from the tree, the serpent played a very important role. The enemy devil and Satan instigated the serpent to deceive Eve. Today, most people feel disgusted or repulsed when they see snakes. But it is not that man disliked snakes from the beginning, that is, at the time they were created. Man came to dislike snakes from the depth of their nature because man came to the way of death due to the serpent. In fact, the snake, before it was cursed, was not repulsive at all. Just as all other creatures of God They were also lovely and had a pleasant appearance. The appearance of today's snakes is the appearance that was changed to the worse by the curse of God after you had deceived Eve. Let us objectively look at the snakes. Don't they look lovely? They are very smooth. Like a pet, they are clean. In case of dogs, they have fleas and they are dirty if you don't wash them. They also smell bad. But snakes are very smooth. They don't have any dirt. How lovely do they look? But the fact is, people feel most disgusted with snakes. They are afraid of them, especially in case of women. Women are more afraid of snakes. Some of you are not, but most people are. I came to know the reason after I became a believer while I was reading the Bible. It is that this snake tempted Eve to fall into destruction, and therefore, in human nature, we hate this snake, and especially women hate snakes even more. Otherwise, snakes are very clean and it is good to play with it, except some poisonous snakes. I realized why it is so disgusting while reading the Bible. You should know how true the Bible is. The appearance of today's snakes is the appearance that was changed to the worse by the curse of God after it had deceived Eve. The serpent was not only lovely, but also very crafty. It means it was cunning. Being crafty, in other words, means it had wisdom to gain the hearts of people. The serpent was crafty so that it could please Eve and gain her heart. So when the serpent tried to deceive her, it would be more likely that Eve would not be as careful. When you lead a Christian life, in many cases, the enemy devil and Satan tempt you to commit sins through those who are close to you. When you are tempted through your family, friends, or those whom you love, you are more likely to move away from the truth by them. When Satan tempted Eve, it used the serpent, which was usually very close to Eve. The serpent, when they asked the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" It was tempting her with crafty words so that she would be tempted. God never said you must not eat from any tree in the garden. He said, you are free to eat from any tree, including the tree of life in the center of the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the serpent changed the words to tempt Eve. And the woman answered, We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, lest you die. God actually said, if you eat from it, you will surely die. But because Eve did not keep God's word in her heart, she answered, lest you die. There are some different answers than what God has said. What are they? Please think to yourself. What are they? They are actually easy answers. God has said they would die if they ate from the tree, but she just said, lest you die. She gave a vague answer, inferring she would find out whether she would die or not only after actually eating from the tree. If God said, you will surely die, it means they would surely die. But she changed the wording. Also, did God say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it? No, he didn't. In the middle of the garden is the tree of life. God said they could eat this fruit, but Eve said as if God prohibited eating from or touching even this tree too. She changed God's words as if she may or may not die by eating it. If we do not keep God's word in mind but change like this, we'll be more easily tempted by Satan next time. Because of these things, the works of Satan take place. God's command is not something that we may obey or may not obey. If we obey, we gain life. But if we disobey, we go to death. For example, if God says, keep the Sabbath, we must keep this in our heart and keep it in our lives. If one keeps the Sabbath on some Sundays and does not keep it on other Sundays according to his thought, he would not be saved. When Eve changed the word of God, the serpent was able to get in through this opening. The serpent said, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. In Eve's standpoint, she did not even want to eat from the tree, since it was prohibited by God. But when she accepted the temptation of the serpent, she wanted to become like God. So when she looked at the tree now, it looked completely different. Since the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life were agitated, the fruit looked good for food and pleasing to the eye. It was also now desirable for gaining wisdom. So she violated the command of God and ate from the tree, and even gave the fruit to her husband Adam to eat it. It is the same with you. For example, when you definitely want to keep the Sabbath, you will not have any desire to go on a picnic or watch TV on Sundays. But your friends come and tempt you, telling you to come with them on a picnic to a beautiful place over the weekend. Then you must firmly drive away this temptation. If you accept it in your heart, you will have many kinds of thoughts of playing on Sunday and wanting to see beautiful sights and so on. If you violate the Sabbath once, it becomes two times and three times, so you keep on violating it. You tried so hard to keep it and to come into the second and third level of faith from the first level, and how can you begin to violate it again? You might even accept the temptation and violate Sunday. That creates a great wall of sin between you and God. As a result of Adam and Eve's disobeying God's command, God's word that said, you will surely die, was realized in their lives. According to the law of the spiritual realm in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. They had to pay the price of their sin. Of course, Adam and Eve did not immediately die at the moment they ate from the tree. But God's word saying you will surely die was not only about physical death. It meant the more original death, which is the death of spirit. Our visible body is only a shell to contain our spirit, and most important things for man are the spirit and soul that are contained in the body. Man's spirit can live by receiving life from God through communication with Him, but after Adam became a sinner, he could not communicate with God anymore. So, men were cut off from God. The enemy, devil, and Satan took man as their own and caused them to commit the sins that finally lead them to hell. Even though the body dies, decays, and disappears, the spirits of men are not extinguished. So it is the spirit that receives eternal punishment in hell. Likewise, when the communication between Adam and God were disconnected, we say, Adam's spirit died. Due to the sin of Adam, not only Adam himself was cursed, but also all his descendants became sinners like Adam and were also subject to death. So, since Adam's descendants received Adam and Eve's blood, they all have the original sin and they were destined to death. Thus, those children who were born before Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil does not have original sin, and so they are not destined to death. Viewing audiences, it is not only man that were cursed by Adam's sin. All the things on earth that were under the control of Adam were also cursed. Genesis chapter 3 verse 17 says, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Before, they only had to take from the trees that bore abundant fruits. But now, since the ground was cursed to produce thorns and thistles, Adam had to toil, and by the sweat of his brow he could gain food. Also, on the cursed land, many diseases and harmful living organisms came into being, which had not existed before. Man also came to suffer from tests and trials brought on them by the enemy devil and Satan. Among the cursed things of this earth, the serpent was the most cursed. Genesis 3:14 says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Have you seen a snake eating dust? Have you seen it? While I was speaking for many revival meetings around the country or in the U.S. in the 80s, I used to ask the attendants the same question. God told the serpent to eat the dust of the ground. I asked whether they had seen a snake eating the dust of the ground. Then many people raised their hands, which means they were lying. How could they see a snake eating the dust? They don't eat dust. Snakes live on rats, frogs, birds, or insects. Here, serpent refers to the enemy devil and Satan spiritually, and the dust figuratively represents man who are made from the dust. The serpent eating the dust means that the enemy devil and Satan will take the fleshly man as their food to bring to them tests, trials, and disasters. As said, those who commit sins and corrupt into flesh come to suffer many kinds of pains under the control of the enemy devil and Satan. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as I briefly mentioned in the beginning of the message today, when they hear about Adam's committing a sin, people might have a question. It is, why did God create the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the first place? If God had not placed the tree there, Adam would not have eaten from it. Then he would not have committed a sin, so that he would not have had to receive the punishment of death. God certainly knew that Adam would eat from it, and he loved Adam very much, but still he placed the tree. What is the reason? Conclusively speaking, God placed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to give true happiness to Adam. Please listen carefully to what this means. The Garden of Eden, where Adam was living, was such a beautiful and peaceful place that lacked nothing. Adam, who was living in this garden, was very happy, wasn't he? No, he was not happy. More precisely, he could not feel anything like happiness. He never knew what happiness is. It is because he never experienced unhappiness, which is the opposite of happiness. Adam never experienced any disease, death, or accident in the Garden of Eden, so he never suffered any sorrow or pain or things like that. Of course, when God explained to him what unhappiness is, he could understand it mentally, but until he himself experienced, he could not realize in his heart how painful it is to be unhappy. Because there is nothing like unhappiness in the Garden of Eden, he would not be able to understand. Even if he listened to the explanations, he could understand to some extent. If he had seen somebody else who is unhappy, but there was nobody who was unhappy around him, so he could not understand it. For men to realize the true value of something, they must have experience with the opposite of something to learn the relativity of the two things. Suppose you have never been ill since you were born. Then you would not feel in your heart what the pain and sorrow of having sickness is like. No matter how much explanation you hear. If you see somebody suffering from a disease, you might have some feeling about it, but you can never feel the pain of being sick. This kind of person can have little true thankfulness for his good health. But if a healthy person becomes ill, he will realize the importance of health deeply in his heart and be grateful for being healthy. It is the same with everything. Only those who have suffered hunger can be truly thankful for abundant food. Only when there is evil can we realize goodness is really good. Only when there is darkness can we realize how precious light is. Without poverty, we will not be thankful for being rich. If there is no hatred, we would not know love is good. We wouldn't know what hatred is. If you haven't hated anybody or have not been hated by anybody, you wouldn't even know love is good. If you have been only rich, you wouldn't know the thanks for being rich. If somebody who is healthy falls ill, he thinks he has the greatest pain in the world. He says something like, he didn't know it was that painful. I saw somebody who had some toothache. She said she thought it wasn't really anything when other people told her they had toothache, but when she had it herself, it was so painful. For her, it was the greatest pain. Also, for those who have pain in their ears, it's the same. Their pain is the greatest. So many people exaggerate. Are they really painful? Think about those who have last stage cancer that is spread to other parts. In a couple of months, their hair turns white because it's too painful and unbearable. Those people do not even wash their hairs. Because of too much pain, they don't feel like doing anything. They don't even make up. Because people have not experienced such a pain, they think they have the greatest pain when they just have some toothache or ear pain. Adam, who was living in the Garden of Eden, where there was no unhappiness whatsoever, could not realize his happiness. Since he had never seen death, he could not fully comprehend in his heart what it means when God said, "You will surely die. Because I have never been ill since I accepted the Lord, and because my family has never been to any hospital or taken any medicine, my memory about the pain I used to have before becomes weak. I remember the pain that I had 31 or 32 years ago before, accepting the Lord more faintly now. Was I really sick at that time? I was so sick and I had to lean on a cane, and I was in my sick bed. I was afraid of anybody touching me. Sometimes I couldn't even go to the bathroom. But now all those things remain as faint memories because it's already been more than 30 years and I have never been sick. I didn't even have any cold. Same goes with my family. Pastor Sujin Lee doesn't even know what injection is. She has never taken any medicine, seen any doctor, or taken any shot. She has never taken any preventive injection either. Still, because God protects her, she is healthy. So Adam could not fully comprehend in his heart what it meant when God said, you surely die. God loved Adam very much and supplied him with everything, but Adam could not thank God from the depth of his heart. But after he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and was driven out from the garden, all things were changed. As Adam had to live in the cursed world, he came to suffer from many things that he had not known before, experiencing hunger, tiredness, coldness, hotness, death, parting, sorrows, and pain caused by sins. Adam could realize how happy he used to be in the Garden of Eden. Dear brothers and sisters, if men live without feeling true happiness, what is the meaning of their lives, although they live in comfort? Rather, even though we have to suffer for a short time, if we can realize happiness through the short suffering, that life would be a valuable part of life. Physical parents do not raise their children only in the house, even though they love their children so much. Outside the house, there are temptations of bad friends and such dangers as traffic accidents and contagious diseases. But because the children can become fully grown-ups after going to school and experiencing this society, the parents send their children out into the world. It is the same with God the Father. It would be good if Adam could realize happiness in his heart and give thanks to God as a child who loved God. But unlike God the Creator, a creature such as man cannot realize the relativity of things unless he himself has experience. That is why God placed a tree of the knowledge of good and evil to let man experience unhappiness and pains so that he could genuinely understand relativity and not just the concept of it in his brain. But this does not mean that God guided Adam to commit a sin. It is just that God allowed Adam to choose with his own free will. Adam finally ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with his free will, and mankind came to suffer from many kinds of pains such as coldness, hotness, diseases, poverty, hunger, parting, loss, and death. When we get to the heavenly kingdom after we go through the process of human cultivation on this earth, where we suffer, we'll realize how good the life in the kingdom of heaven is. We'll be able to feel deep in our heart that the heavenly kingdom, where there is no sin or unhappiness, is so good since we have already experienced sins, diseases, sorrows, and death on this earth. We'll give thanks to God from the depth of our heart for giving us such a wonderful heavenly kingdom and to live in joy eternally. In that day, even after a long time, we'll not change negatively like Adam, who was not able to keep God's word in his mind. Viewing audiences, how much do people love gold, jewelries, and diamond? Only because of that, sometimes people kill one another. On this earth, we step on dirt or paved road that perish and smell. But in heaven, there's nothing like that. There is no dust, nothing that perishes or stinks. The gold and jewels that you love so much on this earth will be the pavement of the road in heavenly kingdom. How happy that life will be forever. The things that you like but cannot have here on this earth will be beautifully built as your house. The walls of the city will be jasper. On this earth, you see some flowers, and you can also smell their fragrance, but they wither soon. How beautiful it is when cherry blossoms bloom. But within about a week, they wither. The golden bellflower and azaleas wither soon, maybe within a month. But in heavenly kingdom, the fully bloomed flowers will be so beautiful. Also on this earth, flowers don't have so much fragrance, but in heaven, they will give out such beautiful and a lot of scent. How happy that life will be. It'll be filled with golden and silver lawn, and when you step on it, it'll feel so nice. How good and happy that life will be. You can feel the happiness because you have been cultivated on this earth. If you were born in heavenly kingdom and have lived there until now, you wouldn't know that it is something good at all. Therefore, you wouldn't even know the thanks or love. But we lived on this earth, and we were destined to fall into hell. But because of our Lord, we can go to heavenly kingdom and live there forever, so we can be thankful to God and our Lord forevermore. It is because we know, not only as knowledge in our head, but because we have experienced the relativity, we clearly know that heavenly kingdom is so good. Thus, we will not change as time goes by, but rather, our love and thanksgiving will increase more and more. Viewing audiences, Adam came to experience unhappiness by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He could then realize how happy his life used to be in the Garden of Eden. When he realized this fact, he had already become a sinner. His communication with God was disconnected, and his spirit already died. He could not go back to the garden or get back to the previous happy life. Not only Adam and Eve, but also all their descendants were destined to receive the punishment of death as sinners. Now what can you do about it? How can we, born as mankind who are sinners, escape from the punishment of death? God from the beginning knew Adam would eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and commit the sin. So even before he placed the tree of the knowledge, he had prepared a way of salvation for mankind. All those plans were already made when God planned human cultivation for the first time and since when God divided out His sons into the Trinity. He had already prepared a way of salvation too. That's why God divided out His sons. He prepared a way before the time began to save the mankind who are sinners from the punishment of death without violating the law of the spiritual realm. What then is that way of salvation? I will tell you about this beginning in the next session. Let me conclude the message. Viewing audiences, now do you understand why God placed a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? If you realize the will of God in placing the tree of the knowledge, you cannot help but admire the amazing providence of God. You will naturally give thanks to God for His love to give us the opportunity to receive eternal happiness. Those who realize this fact and have hope for heaven will have only thanksgiving and joy no matter what kind of life they lead on this earth. That is why 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 to 18 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. No matter what kind of sorrow or pains we suffer on this earth, it is only momentary for us. After this life, we will enjoy the glorious heavenly kingdom and eternal happiness forever and ever. I hope you will realize the love of God who wants to give us true happiness. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will lead a Christian life overflowing with joy with your thanks to God and hope for heaven.
I will pray for all those who are sick. Place your hand on sick parts and infirmities of your body and receive this prayer. If you are not ill, place your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. The work of the Almighty God transcends time and space. He will also work according to your faith. No matter where you are, when you receive this prayer in faith, you will surely experience the astonishing power of God. Hallelujah! The Almighty God of love, lay your hand on all your children, on all GCN viewers who receive this prayer on television. Lay your hand and manifest your work that transcends time and space on every viewer who receives this prayer in faith in every corner of the world. Give each of them the faith by which they can believe and drive out all the power of negative thoughts and doubts. Drive out all trials and sufferings, scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and cleanse with the blood of our Lord from head to toe the five viscera and the six entrails, each joint, and all nerves, tissues, and cells. Manifest the most high power of creation. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, bacteria, and weaknesses, go away. All contagious diseases, go away. All terminal diseases, endemic diseases, and newly discovered diseases, be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed, be strengthened. Let there be healing of gastric cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, intestinal cancer, and skin cancer. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, heart diseases, lung diseases, all kinds of women's diseases, hypertension, hypotension, diabetes, skin diseases, and inflammation. May polio, paralysis, arthritis, and herniated disc be healed and made perfect. May the pain from lumbago, headache, and neuralgia disappear. May all after effects from a variety of accidents be cleansed and made perfect. May cold, flu, fatigue from sickness, and thyroid diseases be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Epilepsy, autism, depression, nervous breakdown, and all kinds of mental diseases go away. May all darkness be driven away, and let there be joy and peace in their hearts. Father God, by the most high power of creation, may all that is weak be made perfect and whole again. May all that is paralyzed become loosened, and may the crippled walk and jump. May the dimmed eyesight be brightened. May those with troubled hearing hear well. May the blind receive sight. May the deaf come to hear. May the mute begin to speak. Father, bless those who are unable to conceive. Rejoin broken bones. And make perfect and whole all burned parts of the body. Cleanse by the fire of the Holy Spirit those who suffer from addiction of narcotics, drugs, toxicants, and poison. May the dead and dead nerves and cells revive. May all darkness be forced away, and may all evil spirits be driven out. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, go away. May all their messengers be also driven out. May all the power of darkness, evil and wicked spirits, dishonest and crafty spirits, estranging and deceiving spirits be driven out. May all chains of injustice be loosened. Darkness go away. May the light come. Father God, strengthen their spirits as well as their flesh. Give them the strength to call out to you. Give them the strength to throw away their sins and become sanctified. As each of their soul gets along well, may all in life go well with them, answer the desires of their hearts, imploration and prayer. Add faith, hope, and love, and may their families also come to hear and believe in the good news. Protect them from accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead prosperous lives without hindrance. Protect all God's children at home, work, and business with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and the eyes of the Lord that are like blazing fire. Bless them whether they come in or go out, and bless them to lend to many people but borrow from no one. Give them wisdom and understanding, and allow them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give all ministers and workers of the Lord the ability to carry out the tasks you have given them. May there also be great revival at each church. Lead your children so that they may give glory to you, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do in life. Manifest your work so that their lips may testify, I have met him, I have experienced God, I have received his answers, and I have received God's blessing. Father God, I thank you. May you alone receive all the glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 기도하옵나이다. 아멘.
아멘.